Hey guys, what is going on? We are packed for our two, essentially. This time we're going to be talking some video game stuff. So,
You know what we should have done?
What?
I know, like...
Let's start over and do it again.
It's primarily a podcast.
Yes.
But what we should also do...
Primarily a podcast. That's exactly what it is.
Well, I was going to say for people that might be watching instead of listening.
Yes.
We should have done, like, a quick change. And, like, been in different outfits so that it looks like we're filming it, like, on different days or something.
Or that. I'll just wear your hoodie and you can take this
shirt. Yeah, we'll just swap them.
Or we'll just be completely naked. One of the two. Whatever gets us views.
Well, that would lose us views, I think.
I don't know. I think we're good-looking men.
From the neck up, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. What am I talking about? We're big friendly geeks for a reason. Anyway, we should do that. Or maybe I have an idea. I'll talk to you off screen about that.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to talk some video game stuff. The first one we're talking about is some Super Mario Party. We know it's a little bit old. You know, we still want to put some thoughts out on it.
Yeah, Mario Party's been out for a while, but you've had a chance to play it, right?
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, honestly, getting back into it, I think it's a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of back to the roots of it. You know, you're out of the cart, you weren't in the cart in Mario Party 10. But,
you were a little bit. Wasn't a lot. There was, like, I think there was, like, one stage, one of the maps that put you back in the cart. But that's neither here nor there. It's not a thing in this one.
You're back to chaotic fun.
Yeah.
I feel, in this new one.
Yeah.
And, honestly, Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 still hold a very special place in my heart, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
But for this one, you know, the first going on the Switch to use the Joy-Cons, I actually like it quite a bit. You know, I haven't had anybody over to play with me or anything, but, you know, using against the computer players, you know, they even get tough when you put them on a higher difficulty, when you put them on extra hard. They play like an actual human, and they make the right decisions and the right things to do.
I did have a chance to play it with my brothers, but my first problem came whenever, here was my thought. In this day and age, there should logically be a way to set it up so that the games that don't require a lot of motion can be played with, like a pro controller or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an option. You have to play with the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, that's...
The game requires Joy-Cons,
yeah.
Which I understand, because a lot of these games do require some sort of motion or spinning or something. But I feel like, for us, our bubble was kind of burst a little bit, because I was thinking maybe there would be a way to set it up to where, if you wanted to play with controllers, the game would just nix, like, the games that required motion. And you could play it, like, with up to four players with regular controllers, just not using the mini games that required those motions.
I thought there was game.
And that's not a thing. You have to have a Joy-Con per player, which I'm still just using the Joy-Cons I got with my console. So only two of us could play at a time, and that was kind of a bummer whenever I've got three brothers, because we wanted to do a four-player game.
And I thought there was a game, it might have been one of the Mario Party games, it might have been something else, where it asks you, like, what are you using or what are you confined to? And it kind of, like you said, it nixed some of those other...
Yeah.
And honestly, it's the same thing with Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, where I wanted to play it on my TV, but, you know, sometimes using the Joy-Cons, like, they can go all over, and it won't give you the option to just use a controller.
Yeah, and it was the same problem then.
Yeah, so those were kind of let down for me. So, like, for Pokemon, I ended up just playing it in handheld mode, and honestly, I'd much have rather played it on, like, my 50-inch TV that I have. But I just, you know, using the Joy-Cons, I just kind of got tired of wasting all the Pokeballs and everything.
And it's erratic enough that if you look online, there's all sorts of, like, guides and tutorials and things about how to, like, properly, like, flick your Pokeball so that it actually catches them correctly. About, like, throwing underhand and aiming correctly and stuff like that. And it's like, whenever it gets bad enough that people are having to put up guides about how to not throw your Pokeball way off to the side.
Yes.
It's like, that's something that you either need to work on the, like, toss correction, some sort of, like, algorithm there, or just let us not use the motion controls. Give us the option, at least.
And I will definitely say this, too, is that I feel as though the motion controls in Super Mario Party were better than in Pokemon. So I will definitely say that.
Yeah, but you know, still, I feel like there should be an option to let us play without those mini games if we choose. Being not everybody wants to go out and buy another almost $100 set of Joy-Cons. Yeah.
And I guess in somewhat of a way, you know, I always got to see things through the same picture. Like, you know, let's say you have your set of Joy-Cons, and then I come over with my two, and we hook them up. Then you, me...
And that's the perfect example. That's,
yeah.
There are mini games in Mario Party that only work if you have two Switch consoles. But if you don't have two Switch consoles, that's totally fine. It doesn't say you can't play it because you don't have two Switch consoles. It just doesn't pull up those specific mini games that use two Switch consoles. They could easily do the same thing with Joy-Cons.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think in a way that what Nintendo was thinking or how they could have programmed it is like, well, what if three people want to use the Joy-Cons and then one other person just wants to use a controller? It makes it that much harder for the game to recognize because they can't do this three-party game and then have one person not play.
Yeah.
But I really feel as though they should have had the option in there to be like, okay, all the people are going to use a pro controller, and then some people are going to use, and then all people are going to use a pro controller, or all people are going to use Joy-Con.
Yeah.
Especially now Smash Brothers out, since they have the adapter where you can use a GameCube controller if you want, mm-hmm. that would have worked out well. Maybe there'll be an update for it or something in the future, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But that was my main complaint. Beyond that, I mean, it is a lot of fun. The motion controls work well. The maps are a little bit more like smaller and consolidated, so it feels like there was a problem for a while with Mario Party where it was the linear maps kind of made it, you know, just whoever was furthest in a map was going to get that star, you know, and that was just kind of the way it was going to be. And I feel like this kind of corrects that. It kind of pairs it back a little bit. It makes it like just a nice square board, like an actual game board. And there are like multiple paths you can take to get to different locations. So I feel like it's kind of fixed some of the like pacing problems and stuff like that, towards it's not just like fingers crossed you get the highest die roll. There actually is a little bit more strategy than that to it now. And they've added like buddies that give you extra dice and things like that. So they've kind of fixed that problem. So I like the boards better. There's only three of them. I know that, you know, for a while too, they were expanding that, and there were some of them that had like four, five, six boards, you know, and they might add more later as DLC or something. But there's only three of them, but I feel like these boards are a much more solid, all of them are much more solid choices this time around.
And, you know, even with, like, the buddies and everything, like, the buddies that you get, you can only roll a one or two with them.
Yeah.
And then you have your own, like, special dice and everything in this one. So I remember, like, Bowser, I want to say, has out of his side, like, you can roll -3 coins or -5 coins or something like that for like three sides, a one on three sides, and then you can roll like a 9 or 10 for two sides.
Yeah.
To get a good chunk of spaces.
Or like there's another one where it only goes up to like 4, but if you roll a 1 or a 2, it gives you that many coins as well as moving you. Stuff like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I very much like this game. You know, obviously it's kind of taken a back seat a little bit because of
everything else.
Yeah, Pokemon and Smash.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nintendo really, very quietly, I think, this year, you know, releasing Mario Party, Smash, and Pokemon.
Yeah, they
set themselves out well.
Yeah, it's three super solid games. And I feel like Mario Party kind of got the short end of the stick because it's the least popular of the three that released. But it's a super solid game. So if you haven't tried a Mario Party and you want to, or if you just kind of like slacked off on the series since they started going downhill, I feel like this one is more or less a return to form. I feel like this one's a little bit more solid than the last few have been.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I give it a thumbs up on that one. I know, probably should have talked about it earlier because I know there was a deal they had going around where I think it was like $100, so already a great deal. You got Super Mario Party, a physical copy of it, and I think green and yellow Joy-Cons.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was, of course, it sold out like that. But I think it was like a Black Friday. You know, Nintendo is always pretty cool about putting out some sort of limited edition or whatever for a Black Friday. Like, I know they also did the 2DS Super Mario Maker for $80.
Yeah.
They did the Super Mario Party with the Joy-Cons. I think there was one more, but I don't remember what the other one was. But hey, Yana, like, hi, I have another rough night of sleeping. But I really did enjoy this game. I really like Mario Party, and you know, it is back to form. Is it perfect? Is it as good as the other ones? No. But is it better than, say, Super Mario 9 and 10, and even a couple of them on the Wii? Yeah. You know, so definitely worth checking out. But I think the next game we're about to talk about, everyone either already has or is going to get for Christmas. And if you don't have it yet, then you're in a minority. And that is a little game. I never really heard of it until now. It's called Super Smash Brothers. Ultimate, mind you.
I don't have it yet.
So you drop this bombshell on me and all of our viewers. And all the viewers. Come here ready to talk about this freaking game.
No, by all means, talk about it. I've heard nothing but great things, and I've seen some of the gameplay and stuff.
Well, you know what? I am going to talk about it. Thanks for allowing me to talk about a topic on our podcast.
Of course.
Of course.
Because the next game I am going to talk about.
And I'm just going to fall asleep because I don't have it. Anyway, so a little game called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate just came out. Every fighter is back. Every single fighter that you could possibly imagine is in this game that they put in, except for Luigi. But, we don't know yet.
We did get the Joker from Persona 5.
We did. I was just...
I was thinking I would wait. I was going to put off getting Smash Bros. And then I saw that they were adding the Joker. And I was like, oh boy, I might have to get Smash Bros. And I haven't done it yet. But I was thinking like maybe next week or so. If I get this job.
Yes.
As if I start my position at the school next week, I'll buy Smash Bros. As like my congratulations to me.
Because I bought Smash, I bought the Fighter's Pass. It was $25, so it essentially saves you, six, because I believe the way Nintendo does it is there's going to be 5 new fighters, and each one of them costs $6 each, and it's a new fighter, a new stage, and some new music.
Okay.
So essentially you're getting a fighter and a stage for free by doing the Fighter's Pass.
Yeah.
So during the Video Game Awards, they did announce Joker from Persona is coming. So we still have 4 more to go. One of the rumors, fingers crossed, Banjo-Kazooie, because Microsoft does play very well with others, you know.
Yeah.
Potentially could do something there. Waluigi, we're still waiting for. That could just be like a random, here you go. But in terms of the game, I mean, like, I've always been terrible at Smash Brothers. I really have. Mm-hmm. But it's chaotic fun. I'm playing on with 8-player smashes on like small battlefield or smaller stage, and I'm loving every second of it. And what I really like about this one is they have a new story mode in this one that wasn't in the Wii U version called World of Light, and it's different. It's definitely different. But one thing that I like about it is it just in general, not just World of Light. Is say you don't want to play the story mode and you just want to play Smash Bros. Because, of course, in the story mode, you can unlock the characters too. There's so many characters to unlock that usually for me, at least that I've seen so far, is after every 3 or 4 matches, even if it's just one-on-one, like you versus a level one computer, a new foe will appear. Now, granted, it's random, so you have to play through the story if you want to get to the part to unlock your certain character.
Yeah.
But, like, I've unlocked a few extra fighters so far that just kind of came up at random. Like, I haven't looked online to see if it is maybe in that order for everybody, but, like, I've got Inkling I unlocked already. I've unlocked a couple of the older... I think I unlocked, like, Teen Link or Young Link because he's back now. Yeah. Jigglypuff, I've got Bowser. And when you first start the game, you get the original characters, the original 6 or 8, I want to say, that was in the 64 version. You start with just them.
Yeah.
And then just kind of grow from there. So you have the option just to do that, just to play. Get the online service. I mean, it's $20 for a year. I mean, you know, when you got Sony and Microsoft charging $60 for theirs, $20 seems fantastic. So I actually have that too. So I'll be playing online. I bought myself a headset so you and I could play online.
Now
and
I just talk have to get it.
And a headset potentially? Or do you have a headset for a Switch?
Do most of them work?
I don't know.
If I just plug in one of my normal like headsets with a microphone on it, will that work?
Give it a shot.
Yeah. I probably do.
So far, I'm absolutely adoring this game. The game looks absolutely beautiful. It moves very fluidly. Mm-hmm. Am I ever going to be one of those top Smash players? Absolutely not. But just in a game that I could pick up and play a few rounds and enjoy, I love it. Definitely worth picking up. You know, I never give anything a perfect score, but it's up there. It's definitely up there. You know, a lot of people always seem to have Super Smash Bros. Melee from the GameCube as like their top. This one, I really feel could beat it. This one, I really do.
Okay.
The Brawl was good. The Wii U version, I feel, kind of took a step down from Brawl. But this one is just like Sakurai's like, here's everything. I was like, Waluigi, just shut up now and leave me alone.
Yeah.
So if, and obviously for me, if they can get Banjo-Kazooie in there, and of course there's Amiibo for all this, which by the way, if there's any Amiibo that you guys are looking for, or Tyler, if there's any that you need, they are re-releasing a lot of the older ones. Like, I've seen a lot more Lynx and Samus out now. Obviously,
because of the hype of Smash,
and they're putting out new ones. Obviously, every character that they announce is going to get an Amiibo. So Joker's going to get an Amiibo eventually.
That one I'll probably get.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I kind of want a Piranha Plant Amiibo.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But obviously, for me, I've got four more chances to potentially get Banjo-Kazooie, and one of the big things is, you know, I actually want to ask you, you know, obviously Banjo-Kazooie would be my main. They could announce that second, three, four, or five. What would you say, Tyler? I'm going to put you on the spot. What would you say might be your number one character that you want out of the four remaining spots since Joker took the first one? What would you say? It could be from anything. Go for it.
See, and that's the weird thing is, like, there was a time where you would have just said, you know, which new Nintendo character do you want? And now it's like, you could just basically pick anyone the way Nintendo does it now, you know, where they keep adding all these new characters, like Joker, you know, it's like, they've never been like, you know, a Nintendo franchise or anything. They release a lot of their, like, not the Persona games necessarily, but like Shin Megami Tensei and stuff has come out for Nintendo consoles, but there's so many different franchises and things to pick from now. I think one really solid choice, and one thing I was going to touch on quick, was they just announced that Monster Hunter World was going to be teaming up with CD Projekt Red.
That's true.
And they're going to have Geralt from The Witcher as a playable character in Monster Hunter World. And the first thing that comes to mind was Geralt would be a really cool fighter in Smash.
I can definitely see that.
Especially riding on the hype they've gotten. Because, you know, back when, even like The Witcher 2, The Witcher 2 was great and it gained some popularity, but even back then, that was a, kind of like a niche enough series that I wouldn't have expected it. But at this point, riding on the, you know, wave that was The Witcher 3, I could see that one being popular enough and big enough that they would add someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously one of the rumors that's always been going around since at least the Wii U days was Shovel Knight could be announced. I think he'd be a really cool fighter. You know, I could see Geralt in there. I don't know. I'm just so focused on Banjo-Kazooie that if I had to maybe pick another one.
Kratos.
I'm just so focused on Banjo-Kazooie. No,
Kratos would be awesome.
I don't want to think of Kratos fighting Mario. But no, actually, I do kind of want to see
that. I do want to see that. That would be cool.
I can see that. But, you know, if I could stick on the Rareware train for a minute, you know, I'd love to see Conker in there, you know, potentially.
Okay.
Or if we get another, like, a Donkey Kong character, we could put Dixie Kong in there. Or at least make Dixie Kong a Shadow Fighter for Diddy, potentially. You never know. There's just so many that they could do that four spots may not just be enough, but... Then again, this is Nintendo. Wreck-It Ralph could be in there. But they could also, you know, Nintendo, especially because this game looks so good, and, you know, they need to get, they could just as easily do another Fighter's Pass next year and be like, here's another five characters that you can get. You never know. I mean, it doesn't take that long, at least in my opinion, to program a fighter and put it in there. And now, if it's not a Nintendo character, like if they do get, you know, Conker or Banjo, they have to pay a little more for it than if they have to put in, say...
There's all the red tape and licensing and stuff like that.
Yeah, but... where if it's just one of their own characters, like, you know, they could put, like, King Bomb-Omb in there from Mario for all, you know. But it's a lot easier to do something just like that. But in terms of the game, very much loving it. You know, I play a couple matches every day. I have not put a shitload of hours into it. Oh, sorry, crap load of hours. I didn't mean to curse. But, you know, I do at least try to play three or four matches a day just to kind of play and see who I can unlock. And, you know, they have classic modes in there still. So it's the World of Light. You got classic mode. You got regular Smash. The tourney. Pretty much everything you could possibly want is in this game except for Waluigi.
Yeah.
So definite worth picking up. So wait for you, Ty, to pick that up.
All right.
So definitely recommend it.
I'll get it soon.
Yeah, you'll get it soon. Yeah. So anyway, go ahead and your turn to talk now about a game.
Okay, so third up, we've got Mutant Year Zero, which is based on a Swedish pen and paper RPG.
Okay.
About how basically more or less humans have all died off, and the only things that have survived are these mutants, like human hybrids with like different animals or and things like that. So you play as you have a squad of up to six people, but you can only play as three of them at a time. Your party is based around three people,
right?
And so it's like this post-apocalyptic world where you play as like these human-animal hybrids that have survived whatever cataclysmic event has happened. And you have heard rumors about this paradise called Eden that you're trying to get to not just survive, but thrive and be happy again. And so you play... The first one is a duck, just called Dux. And he's my favorite because I put a top hat on him. Mm-hmm. And I've been walking around just calling him Uncle Scrooge. But it's a strategy, it's a tactical strategy RPG, much in the same vein as XCOM. But it's kind of like, so in XCOM, you basically just drop into these missions and you're immediately in the mission. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this game, it's sort of open world. It is map based, so you know, you like click on a location to go there, but you wander around these locations gathering resources and new weapons and things like that, kind of like naturally upgrading your character and your weapons as you go on. But then whenever you find people, they all have their they're like ghouls and beasts and things like that on your path, and they all have a certain radius around them that they can see, so you can move faster by using your flashlight. But if you walk into one of these radii, then they see you and they start fighting, and then it goes into like pure XCOM style strategy RPG. But if you keep your flashlight off, you move a lot slower and you can't see things as well. But the trade-off is that it's a lot harder for them to see you. So you have the possibility of sneaking up on them and ambushing them for like extra damage and criticals and things like that. And so that balancing act of like, do you keep your flashlight on to find all the valuable resources and get through the maps quickly and things like that? Or do you turn off your flashlight and get like these ambush kills and things in, but also slow yourself down and maybe miss out on like a rare weapon or something? It's a really enticing mix. And at any time you want, you can also go to the map and go back to like your local haven, your local like safe space.
Okay.
Where you can like upgrade your weapons, hear stories from the locals, buy new weapons or med packs, revives, things like that. So that one, I've been playing that a lot, and it's like it's a really solid game. It's an independent or not independent. It's made by published by Funcom, but it's more or less an independent studio making this game. And I think it launched for like $25 or something like that. It's not a huge experience. I think I've put like 7 or 8 hours into it, and I'm probably around the halfway point.
Okay.
But it's like a really solid experience, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's really good like tactical gameplay. It's really challenging, but not like impossible. You know, it does require some knowledge. You don't want to just like go in guns blazing thinking you'll be fine. But it's a manageable but difficult game. And I really like the resource management and the RPG progression of it. And so it's not that expensive if you want to give it a try. And it's also out for Xbox Game Pass if you're subscribed to the Game Pass.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about it for a few minutes because I've been having a lot of fun with it. And I'm a huge fan of like the XCOM games and that kind of game. Like Mario plus Rabbids I loved too. So if you're into that style of game or just kind of that atmosphere, like kind of the post-apocalyptic storytelling and things like that, it's a really solid option. But that's Mutant Year Zero. I like that one a lot.
I like how we always try to add at least one kind of like retro title, or, and I don't search them, but like independent, I'll say independent, dude, it's just not really a littler game that's not like a big release, like, you know, Mario or Smash or something like that, to just to chat about.
Yeah. Because
that's really what it's all about at this point, is to try to add just a little more flair to the show and to talk about some other things that other people won't talk about, which honestly makes us more unique.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have anything else for this one. I'm just looking forward to this weekend that I have to see you again Friday, and then again Saturday, and then again Sunday.
You have to?
I have to. But then again, I am getting a free movie ticket for one of them, so I guess I can't argue too much. But
yeah.
Which I do thank you very much. I am looking forward to seeing Aquaman. Obviously, I'm more excited for Spider-Man first.
Mm-hmm.
But just really looking forward to a fun weekend, and hopefully some news coming tomorrow that we'll talk about later that we'll spoil it now, but I told you about yesterday.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, and that's all I got. Tyler, my back teeth are starting to float again. All
right.
So you've got one or two options. Either you can keep talking and I can go right here. I can just go through that door right there and they can listen to me go to the bathroom. And
that's kind of gross.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. So you go ahead and close the show, Tyler. And I'm just going to go ahead and do this live and get up. I got to do this now. So bye, everybody. I'll see you in the next episode. So.
Well, I guess until next time. All right, bye.
Bye.
So he's gone now. I guess we can wrap up any way we would like, which is mostly me just wanting to remind you guys how much Mike still loves Pixels and Batman v Superman. Those are pretty much his favorite movies ever.
The day that I liked those movies in any way humanly possible. I heard that.
So he's going to be comparing Aquaman pretty harshly against those two movies. So I hope that Aquaman can meet his harsh expectations based on how much he loves Pixels and Batman v Superman. But until we find out, I guess we'll go ahead and sign off for this week, and we will see you next time. Bye.